let this groove slip up your sleeve into your mind. That was a pretty good line.
Yeah.
You know, my wife doesn't think I get too deep, so she thinks I need to dig deeper. But, yeah. <you know. laughs>
And I'm sitting here with Mr. Clay Powell. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great. Good to see you, Russell.
Thank you very much for coming by.
No problem. Glad to be here.
We're going to start with, where were you born?
I was born in Davis County, Kentucky. Born and raised in Philpott, Kentucky, which is right outside of Owensboro. Right. Went to Davis County High School. Graduated there in 93.
All right. And what's the first time that you had the feeling that you wanted to play music?
The first time I had a feeling, I can just remember my parents telling me I was going to play music. My mom's a church organist, been a church organist for 50 plus years. And all my sisters are pianists. So my parents are like, you're going to play something. So, and piano really wasn't my thing at that time. So I just decided I was going to play guitar. So, well, it's one of my earliest memories is probably doing a talent show in third grade. At elementary school.
In third grade?
Third grade.
And you're playing guitar in third grade?
Yeah, Elvira by the Oak Ridge Boys and John Anderson's Just a Swing In.
Did you do the a-giddy-up?
A-giddy-up, boom, ba boom, ba boom. I killed that part, man. It's funny because I was taking lessons. I started taking lessons from a nun at Brescia College, Sister Marie Julie. She's probably still alive now. She's probably 90 or 100 years old, but I started taking lessons from her, and we had to do these recitals, and everybody was getting up in there, they're playing their B, 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 C, D, 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 E, you know, they're just,
right.
They're doing their little plucking moves, and, you know, I did a couple of those, and then I did Just a Swingin', and I did Elvira, and I can remember those nuns just freaking going crazy. They were loving that thing. I thought the roof was going to blow off this place, and I was, you know, third grade, so. But I can that's probably one of my earliest memories, was taking lessons from this nun.
Is that
all my sisters took from?
Right. So they were learning piano, and you were learning guitar.
Yeah, they were learning piano. I got three older sisters. I finger style picking guitars. I started there with her and took from her for a couple years and took from a cat named Herman Alvey. He was like a Kentucky State fiddle champion. He lived down the road from our mom and dad's house at a place called Fiddler's Outpost. So like every Saturday around 1 o'clock, me and my dad would take me down to this place and I'd bring my guitar and I'd sit around in a big circle and they'd all play bluegrass music and chew tobacco and drink beer and I wouldn't drink beer, and my dad wouldn't drink beer, but they were. So,
sure, you know, sure,
that's how you learn that kind of music. So
that's awesome.
Doing that. And took some lessons from a rocker down at Owensboro Music Center for a couple years, you know, Michael Tanner.
Right off the bat then.
I was right off the bat, man.
Your parents, what did they play?
My mom, like I said, is an organist, and, man, my dad couldn't even play a radio, man. I mean, he couldn't sing and no rhythm. He's a Southern Baptist minister, so, you know, we grew up church music, you know.
Did you play in church?
I did. I play, you know, we'd do special music. Me and my sister would do, you know, I Saw the Light or, you know, about every Sunday it seemed like me and her would do some song by Amy Grant or Michael W. Smith or, you know, my mom's still doing that. They're still at the same church in Patronville, Indiana, which is right across the bridge from Owensboro, Rockport.
Right. Yeah. On the way to Holiday World.
On the way to Holiday World. I was there.
Or Santa Claus Land when we were kids.
It was Santa Claus Land when we were going there too. So
yeah. Right on, man. So did you? What kind of music outside of church music were you first into?
Oh, my first tape I bought was New Edition. I can remember New Edition. Cool It Now, Mr. Telephone Man. That was middle school, and I bought me a Beastie Boys tape, License to Ill. That was good.
So you kind of started off with R&B hip-hop.
Yeah, I like that. I really did. You know, I can remember playing some Indigo Girls songs, man, for some reason. Like, I can't tell you the name of it, but if you started singing it, that would be the one song. Chuck Berry. I did Roll Over Beethoven when I was in like a 6th, 7th grade talent show. My parents were big into talent shows, man. 4-H talent shows, every school talent show that popped up. Clay, you're doing it.
Right.
So
who would have been the influencer as far as the styles of the music you were into at the time? Just friends at school?
You know, I Chuck Berry was probably my first rock and roll, you know, guitar player that I was like, oh man, I love that. And I learned that Johnny B. Good. I learned that song, bought the book, bought me a tab book, you know, learned all the songs in there. Grateful Dead was some music that really turned my music, you know, and Widespread Panic, a huge Widespread Panic fan. And, you know, listen, I'm in that kind of music now. I'm in, you know.
When would you have gotten into the Grateful Dead and Widespread?
Definitely when I came to Western. I got to Western. Let's see. I graduated high school, Davis County, in 93. I went to Georgetown College for a very short stint there. then my parents pulled me back, went to community college. And then when I got to Western around 95, you know, I think that's when I really started listening to Widespread Panic and jam bands. I saw this dude up in Snowshoe, had a Widespread Panic shirt on, and ended up he was from Bowling Green, ended up he was from Western, and ended up we were turned into be best friends. He was an old Sigma Nu dude, and we just started going to Panic shows. Jason Shinton, I don't know if you remember Shinto, but man, then that turned into a band called Homemade Water, that me and Jody Duvall and Aaron Joyce and Hayden Forsey, we started that band, and playing jam band stuff. And
was that your first band?
That was my first band down here in when I came to Western. My first band was in high school. Jimmy Walker and the Dynamites. There was some show called Good Times, and I'm pretty sure the main character was Jimmy Walker. And he said Dynamite all the time. So we were the dude's name, Dynamite, and we came out at a freaking talent show, and we had wigs on, and we played This One Goes Out to the One I Love. We played that.
R.E.M.
R.E.M. tune. We had a dude on mandolin. It sounded killer. For high school band.
Did you play any shows?
No, we didn't play any shows or parties. When I was in high school, I was in a barbershop quartet and called the Singing Valets. And so we got this gig valeting cars at this fancy dude's house. And so we all had these little red jackets on. So we called ourselves the Singing Valets. And I sang the high tenor part. We had three other cats in it. That's why I was a quartet. And, man, what did we do? We went to, like, the state fair, and we won the state fair. And then we went to Memphis, and we didn't win we didn't win like the international youth fair, but man, that was when I went to Memphis. That was my first time really being out of the house and being in a hotel room. And
it was, so you're in the Singing Valet.
I was in a band. Yeah, it was.
Whose idea was that?
My choir teacher when I was.
So you were in choir.
I was in choir. Oh yeah, I was in choir. I was in orchestra. I played the double bass from like 6th grade till I was a senior in high school. But I was still playing guitar, but, you know, I was, you know, first chair, second chair, bass, all that.
And to those, it's a good, to those that are uninitiated or don't know.
Yeah.
What is first chair?
First chair, that means like, you know, you're better than all the other players that are in your group of, you know, bass players. So you got,
right,
you know, you got 5 bass players. You got first chair, second chair, third chair, fourth chair.
Yeah, the teacher would have you do tryouts, so to speak, and play in front of them, and you would get put in chairs based on how good you did.
It went back and forth between me and this dude, Ryan Schienbein. I mean, this dude was great. He's probably, who knows where this cat is. He might be some, I don't know, Texas teaching jazz. Who knows? But he was good.
But you were first chair.
Sometimes, back and forth between one and two, but.
Very
nice.
We
played violin, played mandolin.
Right. What's the first time that you played outside of school in front of people?
Okay, that'd be first time outside of school in front of people. One of those times is that I can remember would be over here at a place called Old Polly's. You know, and I'm pretty sure I had to use a fake ID to get in there. And Old Polly's it's where Spencer's Coffee is now. That was a bar when we went to college here. And so playing over there with Homemade Water probably was some of the first times I ever played out. I had an acoustic guitar. I had one of those pickups that you would fit inside the
right,
you know,
popping really sound hole.
Gear, you know.
Yeah.
And from there, they closed that joint down. And then from there, somewhere in between there, I met Jarvis and Tidball, and they were working down at a club called Kelly Green's. And they're like, Clay, you need to come over here and play down here in the basement. So played over there for a couple years. Then from there, went over to Tidball's because they closed Kelly Green's down. Was played over there, you know, for the past 16 years in different bands. Freaking from Jason Gregory, we were talking about him earlier, in a band called White. It was called White Beans, but they spelled it wrong on a t-shirt. They spelled it White Bones, so we decided to stick with White Bones. So that's how that went.
Was this the first band after the one you had mentioned previous?
That was the first band really after Homemade Water. I kind of really wish I would have stuck with Homemade Water and really
versus White Bones. And, sure.
You know, like White Bones was just, no, we played cover music. It was Jason Gregory and Jason Smith and Delbert. And myself and my buddy Jonathan Jackson, who was up and played in Homemade Water, and he'd come down and, you know, we'd play, you know, Feeling All Right. And,
no, Delbert's, you know, Delbert's Loving Cup. Secretly well known. I hear
so
many
be.
People talk about Delbert.
Oh,
dude.
Delbert is a Bowling Green on the scene guitar great. I mean, he's a great electric guitar player, been here for a long time, played everywhere. He works on gear, you
right?
Know?
Yeah,
he's like, just give me $2, Clay, and I'm like, man, dude, you did everything. He's like, yeah.
Never want you to actually pay him for
a great
the job.
Guy, man, so.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome. So, all right, so you're playing with Gregory.
Playing with Gregory.
God bless your soul. What's the end of that?
Great drummer, man. Honestly, what happened in that band? I really like playing with Gregory. I like playing with the drummer who's kind of the lead because they, you know, he takes you, he can, you know, take you places and bring it up and bring it down and. I really like that about playing with Gregory. He
more
was
of a conductor,
solid.
Really.
Yeah,
you know?
Man. I mean, he drove the band, so it's. I like that. What happened with that band? Oh man, who knows? Oh, you know, cover
well,
band.
Let's skip it. What happened next?
Let's see. I've been playing music by myself for, you know, a couple years, just gigging around town. Then Jarvis said, man, you need to meet this guy named Ryan Stiles. He plays sax, you know. I was like, all right. So I went down and saw Ryan Stiles play sax. I was like, man, this guy is good. We could probably make some good music together. So, man, we started playing music together. We've been playing, you know, for the past 9 years. Then I was needing a bass player one night, and somebody said, man, ask Murph to come in and play. And I didn't really know Murph, but I'm a music teacher over at Warnell, and I teach up here at Western Music, and somebody said, you know, Murph, he goes to Western, and he's a, you know, solid, so I asked him to come in and play with me one night, and then the next thing you know, he's asking me to come over and play in some other band, and I was digging their music, and so they're like, hey, man, we need a vocalist, guitar player, why don't you join the band? And so 9 years later, I'm in Fat band called Fat Box. We've seen a couple lineup changes, but it's pretty much stayed the same.
Right. Let me ask you this. Where's the name Fat Box come from?
Man, Fat Box actually came from a dude that I think you know him, Adam. He played in a band that you play in, Lost River. I'm sorry. he plays in a band with you called. just said it, man.
I want to keep this now, though.
Oh, man.
Oh, okay.
You know Adam. Yeah, well, they told me his
these
name.
These parts are why I do this.
Right, brother.
Okay.
They told me that
there is
his
a guy
name
I know
was
named,
Fat Box.
His
so.
Name is Adam Williams.
Adam Williams.
Yeah, Adam
Pretty
Williams.
Sure it's his last name.
Yeah,
Glasses.
Williams.
Uh-huh. Glasses sometimes.
Glasses sometimes. Yeah, yeah. He plays in Double Zero the Rabbit.
Well, he's from
and
Butler
several
County.
Other bands as well. He's also from Butler County.
And
well.
I did my student teaching up in Butler County, and he was going to school when I was doing my student teaching there with Daryl Dockery.
Gotcha. Yeah. Actually, Daryl Dockery is my probably third cousin, but he
really?
Was my choir teacher. Yeah.
Man, Daryl's the man.
Yeah, he is.
He's a music man.
He really is. So you knew Adam?
You know, I knew him from I was a teacher. He was a student, but then he came up here to Western. And he's like, oh, you're Mr. Powell. Or, you know.
Right.
But they knew him better, I guess.
And they're like, I know a dude named Fat Box.
Yeah.
Or that's nickname Fat Box.
You know, they had already formed when I was coming in, so.
you've been playing music for a while, much like myself. What is the best show you've ever had?
The one of the best thing. It might not have been a gig, but this is one of the better moments in my career as a musician for sure. We were coming home from a gig up in Louisville on like a Saturday morning. It was early, you know, and the gig was a late night, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, something like that. And we're driving home. I got to be home early. I got to take my kids somewhere. So we're on 65, man. And it's a nice day. And the freaking, we get a blowout, bam, you know, like 9:30 in the morning. So we're like, oh, we all hop out. Paul standing over here, and this dude stops. He thinks we're in the Amish because Paul has this hat on that looks kind of Amish, but we're definitely not Amish. But anyway, he stopped. This guy helps us get the van jacked up. We get back on the road. And I'm telling you, as soon as we get back on the road, we got the radio turned on to my favorite station, WFPK, out of Louisville. It's a tight radio station. It's the best radio station. As soon as I turn that radio station on, now this is no shit. As soon as I turn that radio on, a Fatbox song comes on the radio.
Oh, wow.
And so I was just like, fellas, what is going on here? It was a song that, you know, it was just a great moment.
Right.
It was just like, wow, this is great, man. You know, it just kind of I don't know. It was just I had took a picture of the radio for some reason. I thought, just so I can remember that moment, you know. I'll see that picture. I'm like, what's that picture of that radio for? Because I can remember that. That was
they were
that
playing
moment
us.
In time.
Yeah.
I was like, man, that was cool. Well, that was a good moment. But one of the worst moments was probably one of my worst moments was definitely we were playing this shithole up in somewhere, shithole USA probably. And, man, it was biker heavy, all right? Mm-hmm. And, I am going to lie to you. I was having a rough night because it was a second night, and we had been somewhere before, and I wasn't feeling good, but, you know, I ain't going to. Mm-hmm. And, man, this biker comes up, and on a napkin, he has wrote, "You suck" on it, and he just puts it down right on my, right in front of me on my music, or right in front of me on my stage,
wow.
In front of my amp. And, I mean, it seemed like they heckled us all night. And when we walked out, I thought they were kind of standing over there by the car, and, you know, I thought, man, we might get, I don't know what's about to happen here, fellas, but it was just kind of like, I don't know, man. It was not one of my. It was not a good night, but you know,
it doesn't sound so good. Why do you play music?
Oh man, I have to play music. I mean, I just feel it's a release for me. I mean, I play music every single day. I have to, but you know, it's just like a medicine for me. And when I'm playing it, I might not be feeling good, but when I sit down and play music, man, all that goes away. I mean, I might start out a gig and have a headache, but like 10 minutes later, boom, I'm feeling good.
What do you think it is about playing music? Because you're actually the second person that I've heard say the exact same words.
Really?
You have to, it's a release.
I don't know, because, you know, a dancer's got to dance, and an artist got a sculptor's got to sculpt, and the person who plays music.
Just because that's what makes you happy?
That's what makes me, yeah, for sure. That makes me happy. It's just what I don't know. It's just what I feel like I'm here to do. Play music, teach music. You know, everybody has talent. So I think that's definitely what God has given me.
What do you think you'd be doing if you didn't play music?
Oh, if I didn't play music, what would I be doing? Shoot.
Even as far as like your day job's a music teacher, but I'm like, what if you didn't know how to play a single instrument and you didn't sing?
Dude,
what would you do?
Know. I can't even fathom that.
Well, what's your hobbies? Because what do you like to do outside of music?
Play keys, play piano.
That's music.
That's what I like to do, man. I was telling somebody the other day, I was like, you know, one of the best things I've ever done as a musician was move this piano from one side of my room over here to the other side. Because now it's somewhere, it's close. And if you're a musician, you need to have that instrument out all the time. Because if it's in the case, that's just an extra step where you got to go and you're like, ah, fuck that. You know, but if your instrument is out and, man, you can touch it every day, man, that's just going to make you a better musician. No doubt. I mean, that has been one of the best things I've ever done.
Right.
Just move an instrument over closer to where I'm at every day so I can whoop around in my chair where I sit sometimes and then boom, I'm on my keyboard and I'm playing some scale, some, you know, or I'm playing some playing something, you know, because right. if you're a musician needs to play every day.
Who's the best band of all time?
Who's the best band of all time? Oh, man.
Your favorite band.
Who's my favorite? Oh, man. Who I'm listening. I don't know about all time. Here's who I listen to a lot
give
of.
Give me a couple. Okay.
Here, I mean, I listen to a lot of jazz. I listen to Jimmy Smith because I like Hammond organs. My hobby is Hammond. I like Hammond organs and I like stuff like that. So I listen to Jimmy Smith. I listen to Jack McDuff. I listen to Jimmy McGriff. I listen to like masters of Hammond B3 because that's what I want to be. And I listen, if you want to be a master of freaking, you know, jazz guitar, then you need to listen to freaking jazz guitar players. And, you know, if you want to be a badass right. drummer, you need to listen to some Joe Russo and you need to listen to some, you know, whoever's a badass drummer.
What album do you know every lyric to?
What album do I know every lyric to? Some Widespread Panic album that's Red called Every Day.
This is where I was going.
Man, oh, I'm sorry. I get out. Probably that.
When it comes on, when, you know, what anybody else besides
some Counting Crow song, probably.
Really?
Mr. Jones.
Yeah. Do you know that's off of August and Everything After?
Probably.
It is. It was one of my favorite bands growing up.
That was a great band. I can remember, you know, listening to those songs, going to Henderson to meet my girlfriend, you know.
It's a very teenage love kind of band. Sure, but yeah. Man. Yeah. What is the one thing, if you can go back in time, as far as when you first started playing in front of people that you felt maybe held you back that you would change if you could? If you could go back, kind of back to the future style and say, hey, young Clay, don't worry about this or worry more about this. What would you do different?
Oh, man. I probably would have paid attention in school more. You know, I had 4 semesters of piano, but man, it seems like I'm not really getting good on piano till like right now. And so if I would have listened more in school and really kind of focused more on like, you know, I want to be a jazz piano player. I mean, I'm thinking, what could I be doing right now? Because that's what I want to be. That's what I want to do.
You want to be a jazz
piano player? Jazz piano, jazz organ. I really wish I would have known that 20 years ago. I really, you know, I love playing guitar, but I'm really kind of into something else right now.
Well, I think I know. Yeah, the last time I saw you, we were playing the Tidballs anniversary show.
Oh, yeah.
And you were playing keys, and I was like, man, I never paid attention to you playing keys, but you're a very good key player.
Well, I appreciate it. I try.
Every other time I've seen you, at least it's been a while. I don't play much. I'm not out much, but you're usually playing guitar. But I was like, wow, Clay's. Like, I play keys, but I don't play keys. I feel like you play keys.
Well, man, I just got tired of paying somebody to come join the band and play keys. I'm not kidding. I was like, man, I can play keys, man. I know I can. And so
I can figure this out.
I can figure this out. I mean, I can do it. So I bought one of those Nords. You know, I had a Hammond. It's a Hammond clone. It's like, you know. And I just been practicing and playing and taking YouTube lessons. And I mean, I had a semester at UWKU, just jazz piano and just freaking focused and, you know, just, you know, I do it every day.
What do you write about?
What do I write about? I write about things I know. Oh, totally. I mean, I wrote a song about my son, Eli. You know, I write music, really, the music part. I mean, it takes me a while to come up with lyrics. You know, I really kind of, or, you know, sometimes the song just falls out, lyrics are just like, bam, but.
Are you writing lyrics?
Here's how
you
I do it. Here's how like I do crown, it. I guess. Like, no, I don't even think. I just like, all right, so let's take, for instance, last night, we're writing a song. And I, like, you know, we write the progression, I'll just kind of like spit a melody with babbly words. You know, it's like, well, you can't really understand what I'm saying, but then all of a sudden a couple words pop out and they're just like, oh man, that's probably what the song's gonna be about,
right?
You know, and we record everything, so we're like, you know, then I come back and I might not even thought the song was, I mean, I have no idea what the song's gonna be about at this moment, but the song, those couple words that I spit out that kind of fell right in place in that song, that's probably what the song's gonna be about. You know,
so is it kind of melody over
now
lyrics?
That's what I do. That's the way I do it. I write right. the music first. But Paul, man, who's a great songwriter, Paul writes his songs. He writes words first. But I'm the type of person where I write the song and then I'm just little bird on the word. Oh, little bird on the, that's cool. Let's start the song about.
And then you're counting
being
syllables.
A little bird and talking in my. Yeah,
and then you're counting syllables to match
yeah,
the melody.
I'm just like, and I then I've. That's how I do it.
Yeah. What advice would you have for a new band starting up?
What would have been get you a regular practice time.
Okay.
Set a regular practice time. Stick to it. I'm talking about on a Tuesday night at 7 o'clock. You say that's when we practice, and you practice. And, you know, you probably, what else would I, you practice on your own. You know, you want to be good at an instrument, you practice at it. I mean, not everybody's born with can naturally pick up an instrument and play at it. You know, so it just how good just you want to be at your instrument, man. You practice, and we have the tools now. Because back when me and you were growing up, you want to learn how to play a G chord, you had to go over here to Dude's Fiddler's Outpost and have somebody show you. But now you get on the YouTube, and I'm talking about millions of people showing you how to play a G chord from a beginning musician to the best musician. So you comb through YouTube and you find some teachers that you like and you take lessons from there. They're free, you know, so you practice, you know, you find some people that you gel with, you find some people that that like the same kind of music that you dig, you know, you spend time with those people. You know, you spend time with them outside and playing music, you know,
right.
But because when you play music with people, you bond with them, you know, instantly, you know, so, and the gigs will come if you do those things, you know, you practice and you stay after it and you knock on a shitload of doors and if they don't open, you knock again.
Right.
And you keep going. Knocking. Because, I mean, booking is a hard gig. That's a whole nother podcast, man. But,
right.
You know, it's not just playing music in a band anymore. It's not just, you got to do other things, man. You got to play the music. You got to write music. You got to practice. You got to do social media. You got to sell. You got marketing. You got to book. You got to, I mean, there's a lot of things that people don't know that goes into it. That's my opinion.
What is your favorite place to play in Bowling Green?
My favorite place to play in Bowling Green? Tidballs.
What's your favorite lyrics you ever wrote?
My favorite lyric I wrote, after my dad died, I wrote this song called Sister Don't Cry. And the words were, it was listing all these names that people had called him, and the words go something like, the gentle giant, the river poet, there's many names, I like dad the mostest. So that lyric kind of sticks with me a lot.